You're going to want to put that coffee cup somewhere, Slee, or your laptop, your backpack, your
headphones. Get everything out of the way of John.
I think that would be really funny if you did that. As soon as he walks in, just take everything and move it like away from him.
We'll
pack it all up, put it away.
We'll actually go in a different studio.
Don't worry about me.
Let him have this studio by himself.
I'll be in the anchor studio. Don't worry about me.
It was
it's dangerous out here.
It's different.
It's a little different.
You know, I think he just he tried something. Didn't work.
What was he trying?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a pretty big hole in the wall over there.
That is quite a hole. I'll switch the jerseys that are blocking it. Like, I want Powell up bigger.
Whoever designed those trophies did a good job. That was a very durable piece of glass.
Oh, yeah, that thing wasn't breaking.
That thing didn't break is a miracle.
The fact that, I mean, it was glass. Why are you throwing glass?
Yeah, why are you throwing anything, really? That's a whole other topic for another.
In Rage Room, that's what we're going to do.
Oh, Rage Room is a great idea. I love it so much.
Speaking of which, so the other day, so my roommates and I, we stack in the driveway. So there's like, if someone pulls all the way in, then we like park behind each other. So if someone wants to move, everybody has to move. So my car, I was having a hard time starting, and I was just like in a bad mood. And I think that she saw me have my own little mini Rage Room in my own car. And she was like, Emily, it's okay. I just got to go get Dunkin' Donuts. Like, we can do this another time. I was like, nope, my car's going to move right now. So I think that I could benefit from the Rage Room.
Do you do the
lot.
Steering wheel?
Like, yeah, that's essentially what I did. Or I like hit my fist against it.
Wait,
that's kind of stuff that
back,
I do.
Back up. So what set you off? You had to move your car?
So my car wouldn't start.
Working.
Oh, yeah. My car wouldn't start.
That would be
so that's the typical, you know.
Car's a mess.
She just has to move her car.
I think I heard that incompletely. I needed to
Her
to
car's
recheck.
Like 85 years old, and she's still driving with like 750,000 miles.
Car's been through a lot.
Yeah, but she's
car's
character.
Got character. Yeah, it's got character.
And you know, I almost paid her off.
Do you guys get connected to stuff like cars? Like, we had a Toyota Land Cruiser for like 21 years, 350,000 miles. We bought it right before Bobby was born. Mm-hmm. And Susan loved this car like it was a person. And it finally died. Kelly got in a little fender bender, and the insurance company's like, we're not fixing it. It's 350,000 miles. We're done with this thing.
Does
right?
Susan remind Kelly every morning?
She doesn't remind her every morning, but she doesn't not remind her occasionally.
I get attached to cars. I think, I think it's a woman thing.
I don't get that.
Because I know that Susan has a lot of things that she doesn't want to throw away and stuff like that. I feel like that, too, because all the times that I spent in this car, all the road trips that I took, I just have like the memories and attachment with them, and so that's why hard to let go.
Okay, yeah. So
it's
you
not
sell
a kid or a dog. Machine.
You've sold your house before, right?
Yeah,
you had your memories there.
Yeah,
was there a connection to that house?
Not even a little.
Nothing.
Bit. Like
how?
When
I'm surprised, I would have
when
a connection.
My parents moved out of my childhood home.
Yeah,
right? They sold it when I had gone to college, and like they're out.
Is
right?
That like a sociopath, Travis?
No, but I have the memories. I have wonderful memories of my brother, of the house, of playing wiffle ball in the backyard, of running around with the dog, my mom, my dad. Like, I have the memories. It's brick and mortar. It's like, it's not the structure to not have the memories. It's the people that create the memories, not the thing.
That was so sweet.
But I don't
it's
get
true.
It.
It's
I don't,
true, though.
We'll drive down the street and Susan will see a Land Cruiser. She's like, there it is. I'm like, there what is? It's a car.
Yeah, I see a little Toyota Camry.
Yeah, it's like, who?
It's not a dog. It's not
a dog's
child.
A dog's totally different.
Right.
Like, a dog is an animate thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't get it with the car.
I don't either.
I think a house, I could see that. House. If my parents sold our childhood home, impossible that I wouldn't drive by that and be like, damn, so many memories here, so many this, so many that. I think there's a connection
to
it.
You drive by and you see it and you're like, oh, I remember this.
Remember shooting baskets
this,
in the backyard.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You remember it, but you're not like, oh, I need to go back into this house. I don't know. I don't think it's that.
Sorry that I have empathy and that I relate
to
things.
But it's
just
knocking
on the door.
Thing.
It's not even empathy. You're not like,
yeah,
empathizing with me. You're not.
I get the memories with your family, with your sisters, with your mom, with your. Of course,
I'm not more with you.
Sociopath.
I don't know.
On the car,
the thing,
the car less. But I had my car. I mean, my last car that I had it for probably 10, 11 years.
Yeah,
so had it for a long time. Very appreciative of that car. If I see that same car on the road, I'm not going to say, man, that ES300, you know, whatever it was, right? However,
that's a nice car. I don't even know what it sounds like. It just sounds like a nice
sounds
car.
Fancy.
No,
sounds
it's
like a Mercedes.
No, it's not that. It's Lexus, but it's not that fancy. It's like the basic.
Lexus. Oh, Lexus.
It's the basic.
Is there a basic Lexus?
No, there is.
Not.
No.
There is.
It's not a Toyota.
And I bought it used.
Basic Ford, Chevy, Honda, Toyota.
And I bought it used.
Right. Yeah.
I'm the buy the used 3 years.
For 12 years?
Travis, I think you're attached to your Rotolo Chevy, I'm sure, because it's meant so much to you over this
time. I do. I love it, and I look forward to the next one. But it's like, let's bring on the next one, right? Give me a little newer, the internet and the big screen.
I want that big screen.
It has rocks when you turn it on. It goes, boom, and then this video of these rocks play. It's awesome. It's very cool. I love it a great deal. All right, so let's go back to what we're talking about with kind of the WBC, kind of the Angels. It's interesting. Artie Moreno's been talking a little bit. He did an interview with Tom Verducci, and he's been talking for the first time in a while.
He's selling it?
No, but
it's everybody else's fault.
Right? Okay. I'm so glad you said that out. That was your takeaway?
Yeah.
That was exactly my takeaway. Like, dude, are you going to take responsibility for any of the 12 years of absolute terrible baseball that's taken place? And he didn't. Put a pin in that. We'll come back to that in a second. Yeah. Tie game, ninth inning. Ohtani comes in. Tie game at the end of the ninth inning. Ohtani is only going to pitch one inning because the Angels, you said, Greg, only want him to throw one inning.
Phil Nevin says he's only going to pitch one inning.
I don't know if Phil Nevin is going to run out there and take the ball out of his hand in the 10th inning if we get there, because Shohei Ohtani wants to win this tournament. Mm-hmm. Shohei Ohtani was saying he has not played in games like this in a really long time.
Yep.
He's playing for his country against the other top team in the tournament. He's got a chance to win the game for his team. They got a better chance to win the game with him staying in there. I have a really hard time believing he wouldn't go out there. Angels be damned.
Let me read you an Ohtani quote. Obviously, it's a big accomplishment to get to the championship series. But there's a huge difference from being in first and second. So I'm going to do all I can to get that first place. If Ohtani comes in the game and he pitches the ninth and it's 4-4 and now they're in the 10th, not only do I think he would pitch the 10th. I expect him to pitch the 10th. And the last organization that is going to influence my decision of whether I'm going to have a chance to win this WBC for a country who, by the way, is 40-48% of the TVs in Japan are watching these games. The last person I'm worried about is Phil Nevin. The last franchise I'm worried about is the Angels.
Anthony Rendon.
I mean, it's almost comical when I hear you say, well, Phil Nevin doesn't want him. That sounds so ludicrous to me. Like, he's going to not pitch and help Japan beat USA because of Phil Nevin and the Angels.
Look, you're not wrong. You're not wrong in the slightest, but this was the whole thing that happens with the WBC.
Could you imagine?
This is the most passion I've seen out of Slee in quite some time. I love it.
It sounds so ludicrous that organization thinks they have any power over Shohei Ohtani to take him out of the WBC championship.
I agree, but that's the whole thing with this WBC is you have to work with the teams, and the teams get to tell you. I understand it's a championship game.
It's still right now. Yeah.
It's still a championship game, and I totally understand all that. I think what they're worried about is what happens if something happens in the 10th inning.
He's leaving anyway, right? So this thing, he
should have left last year.
Think about what we're talking about here. By the way, good job.
It's just comical. It sounds so funny.
It's real stupid.
Yeah.
It's real stupid. Think about this, that Shohei Ohtani is going to let the team that has given him nothing dictate the final inning of a game that means everything.
Everything.
Right? Like, oh, you know who would? Well, Anthony Phil Davis. Nevin says I don't get to pitch the 10th inning. Sorry, Skip, I'm going to go ice my... Get out of here. Not a chance. And by the way, if he's worried about...
I don't disagree
about,
with any of you, by
if
the way.
If he's worried about hurting himself, that's different. If he's worried, like, listen, I'm not ready to go do another inning... That's a totally different conversation. If he doesn't,
even if
feel,
he was, he would go out there anyway.
I don't know. He's gone. He's about to go make $500 million. He might be a little cautious.
Mm-hmm. I think he goes out there no matter what.
I think it's like 99%. But if he let's put it, and I hope none of this happens. But if he goes out there and he's like, you know, my elbow felt a little, my shoulder, like, he's not going to go back out there. He's not going to risk that. But
let's hope they don't have to celebrate.
They're going to pitch Ohtani to win this game.
But
the Angels are not going to be the difference. That's the unfortunate
part of it. Edwin Diaz obviously got hurt. We'll see Freddie Freeman if he's good to go by the time
he's been playing again. He looks good.
Juan Soto had like a mild oblique injury, whatever the case is.
Those don't linger.
So I just say, you know, anything can happen in a game, but this is very meaningful to Japan.
It's the most important game he's ever played in his life.
Until he leaves the Angels, too.
Yeah, and look, let's to be fair, there's no guarantee that wherever he goes, he's guaranteed to go to the World Series.
No.
Yep.
They're more likely than the Angels, but he could go to the Yankees or the Braves or one of these, the Padres, and it could not work out.
Yep.
It's possible.
He might just go somewhere and just make the playoffs, and that would be bigger.
It almost, when I hear the Phil Nevin or the Angels want to pitch, makes me want, like, if I'm Ohtani, I'm like, I'm pitching two innings tonight.
Oh, you say I can only go one? I'm going four. Yeah.
The fact that the Angels even, like, just to even have them have a comment in it bothers me. If I'm Ohtani, I'm like, yeah, I'm pitching four innings.
If he was pitching for the Dodgers and the Dodgers said you're only allowed one inning, would you have more? Would you be more?
I would
okay
be
with
upset
it?
At the Dodgers of trying to, and I know the Dodgers, complete different organization. I think it's you don't have a pulse of what's going on to think that they don't care about what's happening. That do you think I do not want to win a championship for Japan? I think you should be more understanding of the predicament.
To be fair, I think that I don't think it matters who the team is. Of all 30 major league teams, I think if Ohtani pitched for any of them and they said, oh, you're pitching one, then I'd be like, yeah, go pound sand. I'm going to go pitch until I feel it's not in my best interest to pitch.
But more so for the Angels.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
That the Angels think that they can dictate the terms of the – because, look, it'd be one thing if he were a first- or second-year player. It would be – but it's like, dude, I got one foot out the door. Every quote that I've had for the last 3 years has been, yeah, they're not giving me what I need. I want to play in winning games. If they can't win, I don't know. He hasn't signed an extension. There's no indication that he's dying to stay with the Angels. So they think they're going to – what are they going to do?
I mean, they're still over a week away from opening day, too. So if even he's the opening day starter. So, I mean, you still have plenty of time to get rested and all that,
let's turn this inside out for a second.
Okay.
If you're the Angels and you are – hopefully, as desperate to keep him as you would
I know
think,
where you're going with this, right? And I already agree.
Wouldn't you say, hey,
yes,
listen, do what you got to do tonight.
100%.
If we need you to pitch game three, pitch game three, pitch game 10.
We know how much this means to you and your country. Yes. Go do what you got to go do.
You let us know when you can pitch for us. If that means you need 2 weeks to decompress and build back up, we're good with it.
Well, no, he better not do it.
Well, no,
really,
he's the opening day starter. Need him ready.
So what? Then, by the way, is there anything more overhyped and overblown than, oh, I get it, it's kind of a cool little badge
of honor.
It was
like honor. A Kershaw thing because he did it every single year.
I get it,
year.
But they play 162 of these. You pitch game 1, 6, 13. What difference does it make? Right? In the playoffs, a little bit different.
It just shows I'm the number one starter.
I get it. And I'm not saying that doesn't matter to your ego. But does it matter?
No,
not even a little.
The Angels flexing. That's just
on Ohtani. Like, look, if you wanted to flex on Trout, it makes more sense because
but they shouldn't be able to flex on Trout either.
No, they shouldn't. But
because
at least they have him under contract for another 6 years or
but
whatever
it is. Even if they had him under contract for 40 years, he's going to do whatever he wants.
Of course he is.
Jesus.
Of course he is.
He's got to get a hit soon.
I hope that he goes and pitches 6 innings tonight. He's just like, yeah, I'll catch you guys. Like, May 1st is my new goal for the Angels. Go Japan.
Do you want to you mentioned the Artie Moreno article. You said you said you're coming back to him. Let's hit on it's a kind of a fascinating some of his quotes. I'm just like, what am I reading?
Buckle
here?
Up, Angel fans, because you're probably not gonna like this. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Angels are bunkered up in Tempe at their spring training home right now going, Slaywood just dropped one on us. So good.
You can't make it up.
No. It's
what you
it's
said,
kind of funny, honestly.
No, it is funny. Yeah. At the same time, it's so clueless. But what you said about how they should have done it, and I didn't even need to hear any more. I'm like, yeah, if Nevin is coming out, Artie Moreno say, hey, you know what? We would love nothing more than Shohei to come into opening day, and he's representing Japan as a champion. That's awesome. Do what you got to go do to go make it happen. Then we'll get ready for the Angel season.
And let us know what you need.
Are they trying to flex on Ohtani? What are you flexing?
I don't know what they're doing. And look,
I don't. Flexing's probably not the right way to put it, but dictating.
Flexing's the right word. Dictating is a good word too. The tweet that went around last night, I think, kind of encapsulates what we're about to talk about, which is Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout just put their teams in the championship round of the World Baseball Classic. Imagine if they were ever on the same team. I mean, can you?
That's really good.
That is just
that's really, really
brutal.
Good.
That is just brutal. It's very funny, but it's just ice cold, brutal honesty of you do have both these guys on this team, and your team not only is not winning World Series titles, you're not finishing above 500. I'm going by memory here. I think the Angels finished under 500 5 years in a row.
Okay.
I know they haven't made the playoffs in Mike Trout's career other than the second year he was in the big leagues, his first full year in the big leagues, and they got swept by the Kansas City Royals. They have not been a factor in the American League playoff race for the overwhelming majority of Mike Trout's career. Shohei Ohtani.
Can I give you the years?
Yeah.
Last year, I'll just go from last year down, 73 wins, 77 wins, 26 and 34 in the COVID year, 72 and 90, 80 and 82, 80 and 82, 74 and 88, 85 and 77, 2015 was the last time they were above 500.
It's a long time ago. And Mike Trout has been the best player in the game or damn near it that entire time. Mm-hmm. And if he wasn't, the guy that probably was is on his team, and his name is Shohei Ohtani. Artie Moreno gave an interview to Tom Verducci, Sports Illustrated, and it really was. Like, I sent it to you yesterday. I'm like, hey, you read this, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. And you and I landed at the same spot. It's like, he doesn't seem to really kind of grasp the concept of the culture of your organization is going to start with your ownership group. That the culture of your organization is going to be reflective of how you manage the team, how you spend money, how you go and do all these things. There was a lot of fingers pointed out in this article about all the things that, well, we spent money on this guy and he didn't work. We got Josh Hamilton, it didn't work. Gary Matthews Jr., this guy, and all these other places. Well, okay, but you're the ones that giving them these deals. When you signed Albert Pujols to that deal, everybody in baseball started laughing. That wasn't that Albert Pujols underperformed, but he knew that this was kind of going to be the arc of it all. And none of this was, you know what, I've been overly involved. I need to let my baseball people make baseball decisions, because Billy Epler goes to the Mets. Seems like they kind of got it figured out. Jerry DePoto goes to the Mariners. They seem to have kind of found their rhythm a little bit. And they keep turning over managers. They keep turning over general managers.
Yeah.
And nothing really changes. Well, that's not – you don't have to be a baseball genius to know that the constant piece is the ownership and nothing's – getting any better.
Now, I think we got the quote that I was looking for. We've had a combination of injuries, and obviously COVID hit us, and that hurt us for a couple of years. Yeah, that should explain everything.
Did no one else have to deal with COVID?
Nope. Nobody else had it. Nobody else had to deal with it. Listen, simple as this. If he came out and he said, listen, I spend, because there is a quote here about him being one of the franchises, I think they're ranked 11th in 2017 and 2022 as far as top 10 payrolls or something along those lines. They're in the ballpark there. I think the only thing Artie Moreno can do at this point is just say, listen, I want to win as much as anybody else. I want to win as much. Have we spent money that we look back on and say that was not money well spent? Yes. Is that, at the end of the day, is that my responsibility? Absolutely. Since we haven't had a winning season since 2015, does that fall on my back? Absolutely it does. I'm trying to make good on all this. Like, just sympathize a little bit that it's on you. The whole, well, I mean, injuries and then COVID and then
is insane.
Just things like that.
That's just an insane excuse.
But this makes sense to want quotes that you think would make you feel okay. I sympathize with Artie Moreno, or to have a quote where you're like, I kind of see his perspective. I don't expect that from him. I expect this. I expect pointing fingers in every other direction but himself.
So one of the other quotes in the piece was, and going back to Ohtani for a second, this is Artie Moreno, the Angels owner, saying, I'll say it on the record, we will not trade Ohtani while we're contending for a playoff spot. That's fascinating because, look, the Angels could win some games this year. I thought the Angels were going to be pretty good last year. They got off to a really good start, and I think they lost, 15 or 16 in a row, and they just kind of went down the drain, fired Joe Maddon, mm-hmm. and never really got back on track after that. it's not a stretch to say that a team that's got Mike Trout, Otani, Rendon, Walsh, like they got some guys that can play. They went and got Tyler Anderson. Mm-hmm. We've seen Patrick Sandoval pitch in the World Baseball Classic yep. look really good a couple of times. He pitched pretty well last year. You get a couple of other
Drury, I think they picked up in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. They've got some guys that are major league players that are pretty good. It's not out of the realm of possibility that they're one of the six best teams in the American League. That seems very, very possible. But let's say that you are hanging around the playoff
okay.
picture.
Mm-hmm.
Otani has made it very clear that, you know, I think I'm going to have to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And you are, they're going to be leading the division. They're in it. They're in the mix.
Okay.
Do you not have to trade him anyway? You cannot let that guy walk out the door. You can't.
Okay, are you asking me what I would do, or are you asking me why they're justifying
no,
it?
No, no, what would you do? Because at this point, look, I know it's a hard sell to the Angel fans. Say, listen, I know we're in it for the first time forever.
Yeah.
I know that this guy is Japanese Babe Ruth. I understand there's nothing else like him. But if we don't do something now, he's leaving and we get nothing. Mm-hmm. We get a couple of compensatory draft picks. That's not – if I trade him, mm-hmm. I'm going to get major league caliber players. I'm going to get a boatload of prospects. It's the only option I have. I have to do it. That makes sense to me.
Isn't it – aren't you doing – if I told you what's the worst case scenario for Angel fans, let me just take Angel fans for a quick second. I think the worst case scenario, okay – if you'd have traded him a year ago, then you would have said, okay, well, it made sense. He probably wasn't going to come back, and we weren't competing, and we probably got the biggest haul that we could have got. Look at the Nationals trading Soto at a time where a Padres team knew that they were going to have him for an extended period of time.
Right.
So you're probably going to get the most from there. Okay, then you go into this offseason, and now let's play out what you just said. So you already missed your window to go get the most. Okay.
I think so.
I think that's probably the case because
still going to get a lot though.
Still going to get a lot, and the question is going to be: is a team trading for him that you feel comfortable? Are they going to sign him? Okay, so maybe they're going to give up a little bit more if that's the case. Now you're telling Angel fans, guys, we're in competition. We have a chance to make the playoffs. We keep talking about how fun the WBC is, and now all Otani is asking for is to play in competitive baseball. And then here he is on the doorstep of potentially being in competitive baseball, and you trade him then to then go get some young kids. And I'm not telling you that you're wrong for doing that. What I'm saying is the whole reason why you're in this situation is because you have not been competitive. And finally, there's the window where you are competitive, and arguably the greatest player that we've seen since Babe Ruth gets traded from the Angels. I don't know how Angel fans would.
Okay, but there's one scenario that's slightly worse. You're close.
Where they keep him and they don't make the playoffs?
They keep him. They don't make the playoffs. You get nothing. Or even let's say you keep him and you make the playoffs and you get beat in that opening round.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what?
You're out in four games.
I got three playoff games out of this.
You're not wrong, but I think you take. Listen, I know this is maybe it's incredibly unpopular. Whatever it is, I almost feel like you. You take the chance with a player like that to say, what if we rode this thing? It happens in baseball.
It's a reasonable position to say we're going to ride it out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you flame out and you don't advance, and now he's like, hey, thank you for everything. Thank you for an opportunity in the major leagues. I'm going to go be a Dodger. I'm going to go be a Padre. I'm going to go be an Atlanta Brave. It's like, bye. What? I mean, that's gotta suck, right? That's gotta be the worst case scenario. Let's try a phone call here. Let's go to Tyler. Yeah, perfect timing in Anaheim. Tyler, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just want to say real quick, big fan of you guys. I've been listening to you guys for a while.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get to the topic here. So Otani, I do think, you know, he's 100% committed to the team. It's just I understand how it's hard to want to be committed with the way the franchise has been run for the last 15 years by Moreno. He put all his friends in like high level positions. It's all nepotism. When he inherited the franchise when it was competitive, and since then it's deteriorated. If you're asking me, our worst case scenario has already happened because he did not sell the team. That was my worst case scenario. Okay, it's like he's like, here's the president. I opened it, and it's, you know, a giant turd inside. So. and you know, he's been quoted in South Jane. You know, he's been quoted. It's an entertainment business. That's not sports. It's you play to win the game.
Well, okay, so
not all these guys.
Not all of them. I agree. Tyler, thank you for the phone call, and thank you for the nice things you said about the show. Appreciate that. Both Al and I do. Here's the thing. I think Artie Moreno wants to win. I do. I do not question his desire to win. He is willing to spend money. He is not an owner that is miserly and is pinching every penny and I won't do this. And his team does not have like low budget situations like the Cincinnati Reds, for instance, are like super low budget and the A's are super low. It's not that situation. He wants to win. I think.
I also want to be 6'5".
Yeah.
I really do.
But I think what happens is that he lets his feelings or ego or whatever thing is get in the way of letting people that know more than he does execute the vision on how to win. He wants Josh Hamilton and Albert Pujols. Okay, baseball people knew those were bad deals from the jump. So you have a choice if you're the general manager of these teams. I can either sign the guy that the boss wants or I'm going to get sacked. Okay, that's not a great option. And then I get sacked anyway. And then the next guy comes in and he gets sacked too. That it's just it's you do you want me to just and Perry Manassian, who's the Angels general manager right now, seems to have been able to kind of have some guardrails on some of this.
Yeah.
They're trending in the right direction. I don't think they're gonna be a bad team. I think they could be around 500. If that is good enough to get in, time will tell. But you're gonna have to let people that know baseball make sign this guy, don't sign this guy. There's a quote in that piece about, well, I wanted Trey Turner, and Perry Manassian is like, well, we don't just need Trey Turner. What we need are like three or four more.
Choose that money to go.
Quality major league players. Let's use Drury. Let's go get Urshela. Let's go get Tyler Anderson. Let's sprinkle.
Now they were not a Trey Turner away.
We're not a trade. They've tried it. Mm-hmm. They tried it with Pujols. They tried it with Hamilton. They tried it with Rendon. And Rendon's a really good player. He's been hurt a lot. But you don't need guys that can score more runs. You need guys that can pitch and get some guys out. And depth.
So they have
no depth.
So the only reason why we're even talking about the Angels, and I'm not telling you that the Angels are an irrelevant franchise. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Angel fans, any of that stuff. But the only reason why it's a conversation is because Shohei Ohtani's on that team.
Yes.
That's it. There's no other reason why. And you've had Ohtani for a couple of years. He's been the face of baseball for a couple of years. And at least getting his, like... getting in front of the main stage the way he has these last couple of years. You've done nothing for those years that he's been there, and now you're coming up to the point where, hey, and how many times has he said, you know, the thing I respect about him, other than anything else that he's accomplished in baseball, is, guys, I'm not here to just play games. Yeah. I want to win.
Yeah.
So they've been relevant for these last couple of years because he's on the team. And you might be, we could very well be sitting here opening day for next year, and Shohei Ohtani, if I said, put your money, Shohei Ohtani going to be an Angel in a year from now, what are you going to say?
Not a chance.
Not a chance, right? Most people are going to say, it's a 90% chance. Yeah. It's a 95%.
Higher.
Whatever it is.
Keep going.
And just the mere fact that we're having the conversation because you got one of the all-time greats that are in front of us that is 45 minutes from downtown L.A., who's probably going to be representing a different team.
I know we got to go. I'm going to say this very, very quickly. I think what was so cool last night is when Ohtani came up in the bottom of the ninth inning to lead off that inning, you knew he was going to do something cool. There wasn't, and we knew, quite honestly, we've never seen him in this situation. Mm-hmm. We've never seen him in these super high leverage, okay, you're the best player in the world.
Deliver.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was really awesome. That it wasn't just, it's baseball. Sometimes he showed up and he did it. More, please. Maybe it's in Anaheim, maybe it's not, but more Shohei along the way. Lakers off again tonight. The Suns coming up next. Are we getting in or not? We're getting close. 10 games left. Can LeBron turn this thing around? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. The big CY in the house as well, fresh off of a pickleball. How far did you guys get with your partner?
With my partner, I got to the Sweet 16. Shouts to Randall. Randall, the producer, is a big-time pickleball player.
What happened to Lindsay?
You got to ask her about that.
Yes, I think Lindsay thought she was paired with you, and then she didn't get any love in playing in the tournament.
Let me ask you a question, Slee. If I said, hey, you want to go play 3-on-3 at like 3 o'clock at Sliwa Court?
Yeah.
Where would you go to play 3-on-3 at Sliwa Court?
At Sliwa Court.
Because
you called
Sliwa
it Sliwa Court.
Okay. You would go
to Sliwa saying
Court.
She didn't show up to the court.
Have you seen her in any of the pictures of the people that were doing
anything?
She was there.
Yeah, she was there the whole time.
Yeah, weird. So if you want to show up and not show up to the court, alas. But it was a fun tournament. My favorite thing about it was very simple, and you're a direct direct reason for this. Number one, the weather, tremendous.
Unbelievable weather.
Could not have asked for a better day. Unbelievable weather. Number two, because, again, a lot of you people seem to think I'm this hyper-competitive person. I'm not. I don't even fill out NCAA brackets. I like family vibes. A lot of children there, Travis.
There were.
I enjoy it when there's a lot of kids there. Did a little kid journalism interview, which was tremendous. And number three, lead pipe lock. The amount of dogs. And I got to meet Rookie.
Rookie
was more into this daggone thing than Morales. He's standing on the fence looking over trying to chase balls. That was my maiden voyage with Rookie, and I was as excited to meet your dog as anybody else. We should be having more dog-related events.
Oh, Trav loves dogs. Trav wants he wants dog days.
You're mischaracterizing my dog
every
thing.
Thursday.
I love dogs. Yep. I just don't want one, and I don't want it in the restaurant while I'm eating.
That's fine.
That's my dog thing. Like, I liked seeing Rookie. But Hank, I think, was Nick's dog.
Yeah.
Hank was a cool dog.
Yeah.
I like dogs. I just don't want to own one, take care of one, feed one, walk one, pick up
after
one. I
don't think you guys understand.
Or have a dog, like, have his tail keep hitting my legs when I'm sitting at the bar.
I don't think you guys understand.
I don't need that.
Some of you guys like to get
on. I want an Italian restaurant with just hair, dog hair, just in the air.
Some of you guys like to get on Slee. You say, oh, it's just the Murphy bed and Lakers. That's all there is to the personality.
I think you're the only one that has said that in
Rookie,
a long time.
Rookie.
In a long time. I think anybody has said that.
Rookie has all of the personality you could ever want. I was genuine. I did not know what to expect.
And oh,
you
no. Rookie's
up
a man.
And that guy is a star. So that was my favorite part of the entire pickleball event.
So Al went in with both hands and feet on the Angels for Greg was saying that he read something that the Angels basically said, Ohtani can only pitch one inning night. Now, like, yeah, good luck telling him to come out of the game.
Yeah, sure. What are you going to do? Right.
Exactly.
We're going to fly all the way down to Miami.
I was going
to
say that the biggest baseball
so
game
idiotic.
Of his life, and he's on the mound with a chance to win the game for his squad, he's going to pitch as much as he feels he needs to pitch to win that game. I know you're a baseball person. I'm a baseball person. This tournament could not have been better.
Not even close.
It has been an A-plus across. The competition has been great. Star players all over the place. The ballparks have been filled. The fans are going nuts. We've had some upsets. We've had a lot of close games.
The vibe.
And now, as we're here on the precipice of the championship game, we have arguably the two best teams playing for the champion. It's been perfect.
In scouting terms, we call this 80 grade all across the board. Last night's game, Slee. Now, I know that it's easy to look at a game and say, oh, wow, wacky walk-off. There were so many different components of what happened last night that were completely different from a Major League Baseball game that I need to feel the need to break them down quickly, and I think you'll understand. First of all, when Sasaki comes in banging 102 with run off the rip, it's like, whoa, hold on. I'm sorry.
What, did you hear Smoltz? Yeah, he's like, I don't know, man. Like, it was so, like,
one of the great pitchers, one of the great offers. He's like, yeah. I can't describe what he's doing.
No description for that. Guys are flailing at that. Number two, Arozarena makes a grab out in left field. Snag, grab, and stab at the same time. And he just stands there, just staring.
Did you know he caught it right away?
Yes.
Because I was
looking at the guys in the background behind him.
I had a half
cheering.
A second. I'm like, did he get it or not?
Because he could have been standing there like, oh, I just missed it.
And then when they took the tight shot, like, oh, no, he's got it.
He catches this ball. He's just staring. Blank stare. Camera pans so in on good. His face. Guy who hits the ball, Slee, moves out, bows to him out of respect. Turns around, throws the ball back in, starts signing autographs through the fence.
Yeah, that's pretty baller.
Mid-game. Okay, we're already at three things that would never happen in a big league game. Mm-hmm. Then they have trading three-run homers, which is completely bananas. And then Shuto gets in. By the way, that guy steals all kind of bags in the minor league.
He can fly.
Let me explain something to you. And you'll know this as well as anybody. He's fast, Slee. But the speed wasn't the element.
It's the jump.
The read he got on that ball. Mm. Young players, if the back of the outfielder is towards you, dig deeper. He saw that guy turn around.
He almost caught Ohtani.
He was around second base by the time the ball hit the wall.
It wasn't even close.
And
it's not that somebody bobbled it in the outfield.
No.
It's not that it,
at
you know.
At contact, you thought there might be a play at the plate on the winning run.
Yeah. Maybe.
He was already hugging his teammates.
He was halfway to second by the time the ball was hit.
Yeah.
By the time the ball hit the wall, he was halfway around second.
Damn.
I was like, my goodness. And if you watch it again, quickly, you can see the guy who's underneath the relay throw, meaning the guy who would have been the relay if it missed the first guy. He just puts a knee to the ground, just doesn't even look. He's like, oh, there's no way. I just saw this guy run right by me.
There's
no way we're catching him on a throw.
He said something about Shohei to start the inning, right?
Yeah.
That Ohtani's up in a real spot. This is as meaningful as it gets, especially for
Japan.
You've got
to look on your face that's a little quizzical, as if you've never seen that before.
Well, that's the problem. The problem is we haven't seen Ohtani in real spots. I'm not saying in the regular season
I'm
you don't have real spots.
For you to dunk on Artie. That's all I'm doing.
Well, and I just say it because when you mention that, it's like, okay, well, we know this guy is arguably the best player in baseball. We know that if he just hit, he'd probably hit 55. If he just pitched, he'd probably be the best pitcher in baseball.
Strike out 300 guys.
Yep. And he comes in of course he's going to deliver.
First pitch swinging. First pitch swinging. And he did my favorite thing that I used to do all the time when I played in high school. Get the helmet out of here. Yeah. Don't have time for it. Knock off the helmet.
Yeah, I got
tremendous flow, I'm trying to get to second
base. I'm
going
to dork out for a second on the baseballness of all of this because we know he can hit 50. We know he throws 100 and might be the most devastating starting pitcher in baseball. He's on the very short list of fastest players in the league.
Base running is his most underrated skill.
That he is the fastest from home to first in the whole league. Part of that is because he's left-handed. Because he's a step closer than Trey Turner, who can also fly. But watching when he had that double in the bottom of the ninth to lead off, at contact, I'm thinking that might be a triple.
Might be three bags.
It might be because he had a great break and he was cranking coming around. And then as he got to second, he's like, okay, I'm you can't get thrown out first base or third base right now.
Nevin told me no triples.
That's also the reason why.
no sliding in the WBC.
I also thought at that point he might take a bag at third in that game. I thought that was in play as well.
It was. The tournament's
Angels.
Been great. I hope tonight is a good game. I hope tonight is competitive because, look, we all know baseball. This could very easily be 9-1 either way. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. It's a baseball game, but I don't think it's going to be because all of these games have been really tight and they've been down to the last couple of innings. They've been and the best players are playing the best. Trey Turner is getting big hits. Mike Trout is getting hits. Mookie Betts is getting hits. Otani's getting hits. Forgive me, you probably know the guy's name. Who had the winning hit last night?
I do not know his name, but yes.
But he's the two-time MVP before turning 25 in Japan. Like, he's their best player.
He was 0-4 in that game, too, by the way.
Yeah. He is a legit. The kid, Sasaki, who pitched last night, was the next big thing. He delivered. Like, every time
you might get Darvish tonight. You might get Ohtani tonight. You might get even
Darvish,
on the pitching
Darvish
side.
Darvish and Ohtani are available, but will not be starting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The starter is a guy named Shota Imanaya. Mm-hmm. So he's the starting pitcher for Japan, and then of course the American legend Merrill Kelly.
I mean, I was gonna say, going
for the USA.
When I think American pitchers, I think second guy on the Arizona Diamondbacks staff.
Did you hear DeRosa talking about him?
What did DeRosa say?
And DeRosa was talking about it. It was pretty cool. He goes, look, man, he showed up to camp like I want the ball opening night.
Sure.
And he's like, I dig that he thinks he's Randy Johnson. He does not know that he's Merrill Kelly.
I don't mind.
Neither do I. I think it's an incredibly useful tool to a point. Now, he's got to go out there. He's got to pitch.
Yeah.
Like Wainwright in the game against Cuba, I think any other pitcher on that American team
is giving up four runs and getting pulled out.
That opening inning gets away from him. True. Because he's been around the block so many times, pitching so many big games, he took bases loaded, nobody out, gave up one run. That is a huge win for the U.S.
Wainwright has all of the mobility off the mound of Travis on a pickleball court. I'm out of here.
Where's your trophy?
Nowhere. Apparently yours got thrown through the wall. I heard that story too.
My trophy and Salih's trophy are in safe positions as the number one team.
This
in
is
pickleball.
Not safe in here.
Oh. Apparently not.
I'm just telling you it's not safe in here.
We got our asses handed to us.
We did.
By Travis and Salih.
We did.
See? So you think you're throwing shade, but
wait.
We're good.
You and Berg played.
Berg and I did play against.
A good game.
We played a very, very good game. I learned a lot about pickleball and how to play that day. Berg and I beat Sedano and Cap. Okay.
We got our asses handed to us.
We did.
By Travis and Slee.
I don't know what this one does.
Does Travis go deep? Travis goes deep!
The dunk coming
two
up
for
next.
Two.
It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN. Start with a bit of a sad note, more than a bit of a sad note. Hall of Famer Willis Reed has passed away at 80 years old. He, of course, is a Knicks legend. He is a two-time NBA champion, a two-time Finals MVP. He was the 1970 MVP award winner, named to the All 75th anniversary team in NBA history. But despite that unbelievable resume, he is known as he's kind of the gold standard for showing up when you're hurt and when you're playing. Like to this day, and this happened in the early 70s, people say, oh, he's pulling a Willis Reed. It's
50 years ago, and they still say, oh, that guy's pulling a Willis Reed. That's how you know you did something pretty cool.
Game five of Lakers and the Knicks. He goes, and just kind of the way he explains it, goes in completely injured, a thigh muscle, something along those lines, comes back in. But that is, you're right. How many times people still reference it? It's like Willis Reed.
Yeah, is he going to pull a Willis Reed? Is he going to come off the bench and pull a Willis Reed? Like, think about it. If somebody said, is he going to pull a Sliwa or a Travis, that's a pretty good thing to have your name associated.
Oh,
like, you show up when nobody expects it, you're hurt, and you still perform. It's pretty
Mine
sweet.
Is he's going to pull a Sliwa. He's not showing up.
He's not listening. He pulled a Sliwa. He wasn't listening.
Is he going to pull a Travis? He's not stretching. He's not stretching. Exactly. No stretching here.
Exactly. Ja Morant is talking. They expect him back sooner
tomorrow,
than later.
Maybe
as soon as tomorrow.
I think tomorrow.
He was doing some interviews, and he says that he does not have a problem with alcohol.
I don't have an alcohol problem. Never had an alcohol problem. So I went there for counseling to learn how to, you know, manage stress, cope with stress in, you know, a positive way, instead of, you know, ways I've, you know, tried to deal with it before that, you know, caused me to make, you know, mistakes. So
he gave those comments at the Grizzlies practice. Look, it's nobody's business what he went to counseling for other than his.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he does or he doesn't. He says he doesn't. I'll take his word for it, whatever. But it's nobody's business what he went to go get treated for other than Ja Morant. And if he feels like he's ready to get back at it, then he's ready to get back at it, and we'll see.
Well, I think this is one of those kind of moments in sports where it doesn't matter who you root for, doesn't matter the team that you're rooting for. There's certain players that just add an element. I know for me, going to games Crypto,
no doubt,
you get opportunities to see players only once in a while. Ja Morant's one of those players. Ja Morant is what Joel Embiid or what Giannis or what Luka or what, you know, some of these star players. You get only a couple times to see him across the street. Ja Morant's one of those players. Selfishly, you look at someone like that and you really want, I hope he's good. I hope that this last 30 days that he had and the perception that he's kind of created around himself, that one day we could look back on it 5 years ago and say he had a moment, but man, he got over it, he moved on, and he thrived.
It's a great point because it's kind of one of those inflection points, right? That you could be exactly what you just said, that he become what we're hoping he becomes, one of the best players in the league, one of the most popular players in the league. Maybe he becomes a champion, but you think about Ja Morant, you think about a guy that's just a great basketball player and super popular. Or, yeah, man, remember when he disappeared for a while? And that was kind of the beginning of when he's in and out. He's doing crazy stuff. Could go either way.
Yeah.
And it's up to nobody other than Ja Morant to get this figured out. And hopefully he has, but we'll see.
It's happened to athletes. Some of them you look back and you say, wow, he really kind of changed around. Whatever that perception was, that's gone. For other athletes, it's gone the other way. So hopefully for Ja Morant, we're not talking about him in any
you
other
never
light.
You really know, right? You just time. Time. Mm-hmm. If a year from now nothing else has happened, then we're probably just talking exclusively about basketball. But even if it's something small, right? Even if it's just another little, he gets into it with this guy and something stupid gets said, it's like, oh boy, here we go again. Hopefully it's not that. Fairley Dickinson, head coach, he has now been hired a new 5-year deal to replace Rick Pitino at Iona. This is one, Emily, this may send you back to the rage room right here. I know this is one of the things that kind of sets you off.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I just, it really frustrates me every time. And I know this is going to happen. Literally, when it happened, I was like, yeah, he's probably out of Fairleigh Dickinson now. So it's every time one of these Cinderellas has, even if it's not a run, if it's just a one win, then they immediately ditch that school for a better job, which I think is understandable. It's that career thing. It does make me just sad, and it makes me jaded towards college basketball or college sports in a way, because clearly they don't really care about the players that they're bringing to their team. They just want to rise in their career, which obviously Tobin Anderson has the right to do. It does make me sad. It makes me sad that these players can play their heart out for their coach, for this school, and they're probably not going to go to Iona with him. They're probably going to stay with Fairleigh Dickinson, and they're going to be bad next year. You know, it's frustrating, but that's the reality of college basketball.
Yeah, I understand your point, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, but when you are in that line of work and you are two bad seasons away from getting fired, you need to go take the better job when you can get it. If you can get a little bit more security, a little bit more money, a little bit of a bigger platform to try to get to the next one. Because, look, what's his name again, Emily? I don't even know his name.
Tobin Anderson.
Tobin Anderson has two bad years at Iona. They're going to fire his ass, right? And he's gone. And that's a really tough gig. If you want to impact lives, if you want to teach people how to be better citizens of the world through athletics, go be a D3 coach. right? They, because the D1 level, these guys are climbers. They want to be that guy, Tobin Anderson. Is that it?
He's been waiting for an opportunity.
I'm sure he
like
wants
this.
To be the head coach in Indiana or Kansas or North Carolina. Like, that's the goal when he got into this, and good for him. And this is how you go do it. But this is just the nature of the beast.
You know what makes me think of? Remember Shaka Smart?
Sure. Texas, right?
So Virginia Commonwealth.
VCU. That's right.
That's where he was. And he had a couple runs, and he was the name in college basketball. Ended up with Texas, was with Texas for a few years. I think now he's with Marquette. But that kind of goes back to it's a great story. It's an unbelievable story, right? It's so cool that you have a small college, and here's this coach taking these kids. Ultimately, in a perfect world, you want him to stay there. The world's not perfect. Neither are the dollar signs. Neither are the opportunities. You take the one that's best.
So tickets for tonight's game, USA-Japan, World Baseball Classic Final, they are averaging $185 on a ticket app.
Okay.
That is about 255% higher than the average MLB game last season. Am I crazy? Does that not seem really
low? It's low.
Yeah, two. I mean, I'm not. Don't get me wrong. $185 is a lot of money, but to see a marquee event for under $200,
can I tell
that
you?
Seems reasonable.
If the game
that's average, so they're probably more expensive and less expensive. But
sure.
Yeah,
if the game was in Tokyo,
oh my gosh,
does that not say? I get. I understand. $185 to me sounds low. Period.
I
point
thought
blank,
so
that sounds low to me.
I thought so. What would you pay if the game were at Dodger Stadium tonight? It was $185. I'm buying that ticket.
I'm going to the game.
Yeah,
100%. I'm going to the game.
$285.
Yeah, I'm still going.
I think I'm going to watch that on TV.
I'll tell you why I'm going. I'll tell you why I'm going.
Or get a press pass.
Tell you why I'm going. I get to see Shohei. I get to see Trout. I get to see Mookie. I get to see all these players. It's basically an All-Star game, but with meaning.
With competition.
Yes.
Not just get to first base. Get to see
him. I don't think anybody
Whose
said
voice
that.
Is that?
I don't think anybody said that.
Oh my God! Watch every major league game when they get to first base and they start chopping it up and they ask like it's George Carlin out there telling them jokes. It's like, can you just steal second?
That was awesome.
Just shut up and keep it moving, please. Great. Today in 2008, March 21st, 2008, some dude named Stephen Curry became a household name. He dropped 40 in Davidson's round of 64 win against Gonzaga. Mm. And it was a, hey, that guy weighs 107 pounds. How did he just, why is he shooting from half court? And it felt kind of like, wait, is this for real? Or is this just some kid got a, it was Steph Curry.
Okay, well, here's the funny thing. When he had that run at Davidson, his dad's Del Curry, was in the league for all these years. He didn't go to a powerhouse college
Davidson.
Where you would have thought, you know, okay, North Carolina, you're going to think like some of these other teams are going to be recruiting him. When he had that tournament run at Davidson, did you think, hey, watch out for this guy in the
know.
NBA?
No, of course not. Of course
in
not.
My head, I was like, this is the perfect guy for college basketball, and then go from there.
They famously.
Move everything out of the way. Get everything out of the way.
I think it was Seth Greenberg that said that he wasn't good enough to play at Virginia Tech when Seth was the head coach of Virginia Tech, and he gives himself a hard time talking about it. But, yeah, Steph's coming out party was today, 40 points in 2008. Now that the Destructor is in the house, let's go to a little super crosstalk. So you're good, Slee?
Yeah, it's
there?
Dangerous.
Is there anything I can throw?
Is there,
hold on.
Keep everything away.
Yeah, just making sure everything
move
is
that monitor. Move the monitor out of the way.
Yeah.
So last night, let me reiterate, I texted Slee and I texted Travis.
Yes.
Apologizing profusely for throwing their trophy yesterday. That was on the advice of Mason.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because I originally was going to double down on it and get you new trophies.
I heard about that.
And Mason said, that will not be funny. They didn't think you throwing it was funny. You need to apologize. So Mason and I just did a thing with Matt Money Smith over at USC.
We'll
talk about it if you want. He was a good partner. He quit me out. And so, again, I want to apologize in person. Chris Morales, I will pay for the wall. And I have decided that I am now limiting my involvement in any bits between 1:15 and 3:45. When I go outside of that window is when I get in trouble. Did you guys ever see the Seinfeld where Elaine finds three guys who look just like
Bizarro Seinfeld?
Right. Yeah. Jerry, Kramer, and George. And at one point, so she says, you know, Jerry, Kramer, and George are a little, they're a little negative. They're on me all the time, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to get new friends. So she gets three guys who look just like him.
Feldman, yeah. Gene, somebody else.
And Kevin. So, you know, yeah, that's it. And so, you know how at one point, whenever they tell Elaine something surprising, she pushes him really hard and goes, "Get out!" So she did it to the new guys, and they all went, "Elaine, why would you do that? Oh, Micah Feldman, are you okay?" Blah, blah. And Elaine goes, "Oh, God, I got to go back to the other guys. I'm going back to my show.
To push them.
Yeah, I'm going back to my show where I can beat up on Mason, and I am very, very sorry to the two of you."
Fine, we accept. At least I should say I accept, so I'll let you
accept. I'm okay. Well, Slee texted me this morning. He said, "I forgive you for throwing my trophy. The water is another story."
So good. Water, that's still coming.
That's still coming. My response to him was, "I will gladly accept my punishment whenever you want to deliver it."
So, like you were saying, that you're going to confine your theatrics to your program.
115 to 340.
Yes. Okay, yes. Fine. But do you really need to throw things? Like, yes. that was the part that felt
extra.
It was more shocking than anything else.
Mason did the exact same thing when we won a Bob Miller Award,
it's true.
That kind of inspired me.
Yeah. The Ireland
and
Mason show.
Yeah, it says Ireland and Mason, and he took it, threw it against the wall and broke it. He goes, "This is a piece of junk."
I just broke the microphone off the bass. I was like, screw that.
And so that's what I was going for. I wanted to split the thing in half.
Yeah.
But the thing was like industrial strength.
It really was a strong trophy.
But I apologize to your listeners came after me.
Thank you.
Why are you treating Slee disrespectfully like this? Blah, 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 blah. It didn't have anything to do with Slee. I was just goofing around.
Yeah.
It was a swing and a miss.
Yeah, swing and a miss. It happens.
We have actually contemplated using a rage room.
Yeah, Emily. Emily suggested that we build a rage room here at 710.
So I'd be in there all the time.
Who's ever having a bad day can go in there and tear it to pieces.
I actually like that idea.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. I was just working in an office that's like unoccupied. It has windows, though.
Pad the walls.
I don't know. Can a rage room have windows?
I just use Bergman's office. That's my rage room.
Has anyone ever actually been to a rage room? I've never been to one.
No.
I know they exist.
No. Like, no, that's
I,
a, not,
I believe they're at the... I don't know this.
I've gone to one.
Explain what happened.
So you just pay for a period of time. So you
expensive or no?
It's cheaper than a
25 room. $25 or less.
It depends on the amount of time, but you can go for, I think it was like there it was like 40.
What did
for
your
half
2 hours cost?
It was 40 for half an hour, and but you can also
two
do
hours
less
flew
and more.
By.
And they
already.
They put you in gear, so you wear like head to toe. Like
I know you have
suit,
goggles,
and
right?
Then you have a goggles, and you have a helmet. So and you have gloves. So essentially, you're protected. If there's any glass that breaks, it's not gonna get in your eye or anything. And then you can do whatever you want to the room. It's on video, so you can get a video of yourself doing whatever you want to the room. And people get really emotional.
This is a real thing.
Yeah.
Oh wait, you've never heard about this?
No, I've never heard of this.
And they have old computer parts and stuff, and like old TVs,
okay.
And you can take a sledgehammer and smash the TV.
You can do it by yourself.
Disney will
others.
Approve that. We can get one of those offices in no time.
One of them.
Well, you know, the other thing that has started in our hotel in Charlotte, right across the street, and I guess there's a place like this in Van Nuys. Do you guys know about axe throwing?
Oh, yeah, axe throwing. I've done it.
I've seen that.
Yeah, I've done it. So it's fun.
I don't think I can do it. But here's the thing,
Trav, here's the thing that surprised me. In Charlotte, across from our hotel, the axe throwing is in a bar.
Yes, that's where I did it.
So
there's a bar in the valley, right?
Alcohol and throwing axes.
Yeah, not a good combo.
Is a combo?
It's a bit of a risky combination.
it's like Top Golf with axes.
So the place that I did it was up in the East Bay, right? Up in Walnut Creek. We went to a bar with some buddies and we were having a good time. We played golf that day and we ended up at this place and they had an axe throwing. It's like a batting cage almost. So
and you're throwing into a log, right?
They have like a log that's painted with a bullseye.
Yeah.
And the perfect axe throw, the axe will rotate exactly one time and thwack, stick in the thing. It's really hard
to get it to stick. Right.
It's very hard, I don't know if it's rage room therapeutic, but it is kind of fun
to
do.
I'm sure it's letting off some steam.
Yeah, you get to throw axes at giant chunks of wood. So tell me about the conference. What did you guys talk about?
I thought we kind of changed the world a little bit today, wouldn't you say, Jim?
Did you really?
Of course.
I think.
Well, the weird thing was the audience. The audience
was the two of you guys in Petros and Money?
Yeah, but Petros was sick.
It was just Money.
And Evan Cohen from our station back in New York was
and Sirius, yeah.
was the host.
Yep.
And so he just asked us questions for an hour. But did you notice that everyone who we have ever worked for was in the audience?
I know. It's weird.
For instance?
Mike Thompson was there.
Okay.
Don Martin was there.
Okay.
Brian was there, but
we didn't see him.
I saw Brian right before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw Brian right before, Brian Long.
And so, like, anyone we've ever worked with or for was
my agent was there.
It was pouring rain when we got there, and it finally started to lighten up a little. But it was like USC was underwater by the time we
got there. Oh, did you get it at SC?
Yeah.
And I would like to say,
did you get any awkward questions?
Nothing real. Nothing.
Mike Thompson asked him about when he came out.
Yeah,
kind of out of the blue.
I think it's just an old story. But the one thing everybody makes fun of what I wear, and you know, I used to wear.
Today,
I wore the puffy jacket.
Yeah. I like that jacket better than the vest.
Oh, thank you.
Did you have a vest on earlier?
No, that's the photo. Yeah, the photo.
Oh, there is a promo picture somewhere. Okay.
And he's got the nerd glasses on with the puffy vest. He looks like Marty McFly with glasses.
But Money showed up in sweatpants and a bucket hat.
Oh.
And I'm like, everybody. So sweatpants are totally fine. Everybody makes fun of me wearing sweatpants.
I don't know.
I've gone to jeans.
Okay.
I don't know.
So Bergman just told me a great story. I met somebody at this thing who shall remain nameless. And I go, hey, I met a friend of yours. And Bergman goes, yeah. And we were talking about it, and it just came up in a thing. And he goes, he's a really good guy. He goes, he interviewed here once, showed up in shorts.
Oh.
And I thought,
that's a terrible choice.
Even if the job you're going to get is one where you can wear shorts.
Or maybe like lifeguard.
But if you're interviewing for lifeguard,
yeah, even if I was interviewing for lifeguard, I would show up in like khakis and a golf shirt.
Yes.
And I'll say, give me the Baywatch outfit.
Yeah, you can't miss by going too high.
Right.
You can miss on the low side.
That'd be the opposite of dressing for the job you want. Maybe this guy wanted to be a lifeguard.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. No, shorts is an aggressive choice. Sweatpants are fine if you're doing your daily show, but if you're going to be on a panel, and I like you, but he's a good dude.
I'm surprised you wore sweatpants.
But I got totally bagged on because I wear sweatpants to work, and now Bergman bagging on me because I wear sweatpants to work. It's like sweatpants are just like leisure. People wear sweatpants now.
Yeah, to lay on the couch and watch TV.
Like, Vuori sweatpants are more expensive than what I
fancy
like.
Ass,
like
yeah.
The,
yeah.
I have dress pants on right now.
Yeah. Bird Dogs. They're really nice, but they're not cheap.
Vuori on right now?
No, I have dress pants on that cost less than Vuori sweatpants.
Yeah, Vuori. Kathy keeps saying he's going to get me a discount at Vuori, No.
Does he have a hookup at Vuori?
Nothing. He's got a hookup.
Wait a minute. Did you just ask if Scott Kaplan has a hookup?
He's got a guy who knows a guy.
Everywhere.
Vuori's.
You want to go to the World Baseball Classic tonight? Call Cap. He'll get you in.
Slee and I were just talking about that. 188. Does that not sound low for the average ticket price of the game tonight?
188.
188.
We thought it would be more expensive.
I thought it'd be more than that.
It's way more expensive than that to go to an NBA game.
Yeah, well, sure, but there's also 40,000 seats in this building.
Yeah.
There's not 18,000
seats. But the get-in price being 188.
Average price.
Hey,
I don't know. You can get in for less.
I don't know if it's a result of what you guys were talking about last hour, but I just read an article where the Angels came out and they said they don't care if Ohtani pitches and they hope he pitches the whole game.
Good. I hope so too. That is where they landed on that is really good news.
Manasian was saying
that he'd be disappointed if he didn't pitch.
Well, hell, I mean, if you're trying to keep him, tell him he can do whatever he wants.
Greg said that he saw where Phil Nevin said that they wanted him limited
to a
single
inning. I read the quote from Nevin. Nevin said, he goes, it's been, the World Baseball Classic's been great. Ohtani should go both ways in it. And if he pitches an inning or two, I don't really care. So he suggested an inning or two. But then Manasian said, I pitch him as much as he wants.
Who's pitching for us?
Merrill Kelly is our starter.
The old Arizona Diamondbacks guy,
probably their number two guy.
Yep.
Apparently, Mark DeRosa, manager of Team USA, digs this guy because he thinks he's the second coming of Greg Maddux. Like,
really?
He's super confident.
Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah, he's super confident, and he's ready to go out there and show the world that he belongs in this spot. I have been on board with this tournament from the moment that they started.
Me too.
It has been so exciting. The games have been so
I'm late
well played,
to the game.
So close.
Last night
well,
was
actually,
amazing.
You're just in time. You can watch the final tonight.
Well, I watched yesterday's game. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So just to play off of what Trav was just saying, I don't know if most people were like you from the beginning.
I don't think so.
But I feel like there is definitely, and I'm not talking about just tonight because it's the championship.
Yeah.
I feel like over the weekend, too, there was a lot of momentum. People started watching the WBC that maybe had no interest before.
A lot of people thought, who cares? What doesn't mean anything? No, people care.
The best players are playing. That's how you get people to
care.
And
they care.
Yes.
Yeah, they care.
That's Sasaki kid.
You see them celebrate. Mm-hmm. Oh, that Sasaki kid is.
Oh, my God.
Now, how do you get
goodness.
Him?
money.
But
yeah, he's only 21.
Does he have to post and then come over?
Well,
he
has to ask to come over,
right?
Which he hasn't done yet. And then the team has to agree, and then they post.
Then he's coming.
They start taking.
Oh, and then you got your. And apparently,
Otani's been coaching him up as to had the best way to do this. Mm. I assume what Otani's saying is don't go to the Angels.
Yeah,
that's probably pretty good advice. That seems to be a good jumping off point, but I can't imagine what the asking. I mean, he's throwing 102 miles an hour and made it look effortless last night.
Easy, 102.
Yeah, it was great. I'm kind of curious of the whole rage room thing. You've kind of piqued my interest, Emily, on going through that. You don't strike me as a rage room.
You never have heard of it until today? I don't know if I've heard of it either.
I thought it was like an expression. I didn't know it actually exists.
Rage room.
I thought it was something like you went into the closet and screamed.
Oh no!
Into a pillow.
And they give you like a hazmat suit, and they'll do. And what they do is they go to junkyards and they bring in stuff you can destroy. Mostly, it's old electronics. Like old computers, old TVs, old.
I remember when I was in high school.
And they give you an axe or a sledgehammer and let you have at it.
By the way, I don't need a rage room. I've stoned half the time. I'm like
you're chill.
I'm generally pretty mellow.
When I was in high school,
he goes to a rage room, just starts cleaning everything up.
Yeah, I know. I'm the guy that's like, is there a couch in there?
Where's the broom and the dustpan? Yeah. They had a old beater car that they brought up for like a anti-drunk driving campaign, right? And you could hit this car with a sledgehammer a few times, and it was fun for a swing, maybe two. And you're like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah. I don't know if I need a half an hour of smashing Commodore 64s. That seems like something I don't have to get done.
They have a lot of those, channels where they're rebuilding homes, remodeling, taking down
like DIY, Property Brothers, all that.
Travis, when I was in high school, me and my friends, what we did if we were having a bad day, or if like a girl broke up with us, or we failed a test, batting cages.
Yeah,
and just like 5,000. I have a shirt that I made for one of my friends. We one summer hit 5,000 baseballs just pounding.
There used
out
to be a
range.
Batting cage on like every corner in suburbia, right?
Right.
Like, they were very easy to find. Now they're like in industrial parks and they're $200.
There was
an
one
hour.
On La Cienega. I don't know if it's still there, right up the street from the old station. La Cienega near Venice.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the one over at the old Fox Sports.
They're replacing them with pickleball courts.
Yeah,
now.
No, they're all
pickleball courts.
They're replacing this studio with pickleball courts.
We should go over there and win another trophy. Go ahead and start racking them up.
If you do, it's safe with me.
Will you guys ever play pickleball again?
Yes. I'll play again.
I'm looking forward to next year's tournament.
Bergman and I are going to play Wednesday nights in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
We're going to go out there Wednesday nights.
I told Al, if Al says, hey, Trav, come play pickleball with me today in Pasadena, I will go play, but I don't think I'm going to go
see it. Because
you
guys are kind of, I mean, Slee is like the natural.
Well, I mean.
We got our asses handed to us.
We did.
By Travis and Slee.
We did.
That's what happened.
Exactly.
And that's why we got the trophy. Super Crosstalk, powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We will see you tomorrow.